Hello and welcome to the TCF Morning Show. It is Tuesday, January 19th, and this morning I am joined by Matt Schoolfield at schools underscore 01 and Boomy at Boomy TCF. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. The main page is at typical underscore Chicago. This morning we'll be talking about the NFL divisional round recap from this last weekend. It was awesome. Four games that were going on between Saturday and Sunday. The Blackhawks start the season 0-3, and we'll talk to Matty Pucks about it. And it's not going to look good for the rest of the season. The Bulls get a win last night against the Rockets, so that is nice. They're looking good. They're fun to watch. Boomy said he was very interested in the game. I'm interested in the game. Maddie's interested in the game. So that's all that matters. They improved to 6-8. And like Boomy was telling us before the game, before the show, they're looking close to that eighth spot.
Game out.
Hey, we got, if you're me, we got nothing really to look forward to sports wise, so might as well look for the eighth spot in the East. We got Boomy's wacky web story, and then we will end the show with a little thank you to John Lester, who signed with the Washington Nationals last night. But if you want to find us on Facebook or Instagram, go over to Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Go over to YouTube, type in Typical Chicago Fans, subscribe to the YouTube page. Morning shows, podcasts, interviews, all on the YouTube page. And then wherever you get your podcast, from, type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. If it's Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. Leave that 5-star rating. We would love that. 26shirts.com, Chicago. I got my 26 shirt on tonight. Boomy's always got his in the background. If you want shirts just like this, go over to 26shirts.com, Chicago, and use the promo code TypicalChicagoFans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase at 26shirts.com. Chicago boys, how are we doing? We had a fun weekend for one of the people on this show. Their teams won. We'll not really get into that. But it was an awesome weekend of a lot of competitive football. So how are we doing?
Doing great, man. Like you said, good weekend of football. Other sports going on too: college basketball, NBA, NHL, all that good stuff. Had Monday off of work for MLK Day, so can't complain, man. Short week, very little to complain about.
Yeah, it was another weekend in the books of this last year's. No more eventful or uneventful than the previous whatever. 34 of them that I guess it's been, or 35 of them I guess it's been, but who's counting, right? No, I mean, like, football's winding down. We only got three games left. Boomy's a part of it, fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you want to look at it. But no, it's, yeah, I mean, we don't, yeah, Zach, I got your back on this one, obviously. But no, I mean, yeah, it you know, like you said, the Blackhawks stink. We got a little bit more excitement with the Bulls. We'll get into them here in a few, I'm sure, but you know, things are not so great in Chicago, on the Chicago sports landscape.
They are not looking the best for some teams, but let's get into the topics right now. The NFL divisional round recap. Boomy, do you got the games for us? Because I did pretty well on something this weekend, Boomy.
Yeah, I got them right here.
Pretty well on. I got a lot of the first touchdowns scored in the game. So I had Devontae Adams, I had Stephon Diggs, and I had Mike Evans. A little side note to that, it's one of those like free boosts from DraftKings. So two of them were actually picked for me. So I won't take full credit for that. But it was a good weekend for that. But, Boomy, you got some scores for us?
Sure do. Green Bay is going back to the NFC Championship game.
Actually, I didn't mean that game. I meant the other game.
Covered anyway. Aaron Rodgers, 23 for 36 for 296.
Can I say something real quick? It pains me to see how much fun he's having out there.
Beautiful. It is. That play where he called out the defense, he knew exactly what it was. He told Lazard to go deep. That was just fun to watch. But LA looked like a team that had a quarterback with nine fingers, unfortunately. You could tell what the Rams were missing, and it was there, and they gave a fight, but 32-18 Green Bay. They'll head to the NFC Championship for the second straight year. The Bills punch their ticket to the AFC Championship, 17-13 over the Ravens. Lamar Jackson goes down early. Couldn't really get much going after that. But Buffalo holds them to 3. Not much more you can ask for, but big task ahead.
Honestly, Buffalo has not played like a great game yet.
No.
Their defense has kept them
in the AFC Championship. So.
Their offense didn't play the greatest game, but their defense played really well. So I think we'll have to just wait and see what they can do against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Or who the Chiefs have.
Yeah, exactly.
Mahomes is not sitting out. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves here. We're not even going to talk like he's sitting out, are we? We're not going to pretend.
No chance.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page there. But no, yeah. I'm sorry, Boomy. What was your question?
Any thoughts on the Bills? I mean, I know they're, like Zach said,
they haven't played the complete game yet. I think they have no ceiling this year, though. I mean, I think they can win it. They're just as capable as anybody. And they've got an offense that can keep up with Kansas City when Kansas City's humming. You know, when they're zipping up and down the field, the Bills can do it, too.
And they've got a good defense.
Dable's a great offensive coordinator. Obviously, you've seen what he's getting some looks around the league. And Josh Allen's just, you can't say enough about his ability. The connection he's got with Diggs is right up there with anybody in the league.
Can I stop this real quick? What do all four of these teams have in common right now? They all have really good quarterbacks. It's crazy to think.
Nuts.
That you would build a team that would win the NFC or AFC Championship.
Only one of two things our organization's failed on, Zach.
Yeah.
Only one.
The quarterback. It's insane. I know this may sound crazy, but four guys who could possibly be Hall of Famers.
I'm going to actually.
I know most Aaron Rodgers will be. And Patrick Mahomes most likely will be and stuff like that. But you know what I mean. And Tom Brady. But it'd be crazy.
I want to give the Packers organization a little bit of credit in that regard where they, you know, back to Favre in those days, they went every year. They invested in the quarterback position even when they had Favre. They were bringing in good quality backup quarterbacks from Matt Hasselbeck. Doug Peterson was a solid backup in the NFL. You know, Hasselbeck turned into a productive pro, obviously, for a long time. Mark Brunell was a backup for a long time. They were bringing in quality backups, and then they brought in the gold mine and when they brought in Rodgers, so they made the easy transition. And even after that, they kept investing in the quarterback position. You know, they would get Matt Flynn out there who, you know, they would get some capital back on and some trade value from. And whether they dealt him or not, when a team invests in that position so heavily, they're going to get some production out of it. Ryan Pace has never drafted a quarterback outside of Mitch Trubisky, excuse me. And that's not investing into your position, in my opinion. So when you do things like that, it's not rocket science. I mean, you invest in the most important position, you're going to get a better
and justifiably gotten criticism over, you know, the draft. You know, when we talked about them taking Jordan Love, but I think they're trying to find
optics.
That similar lightning in a bottle situation to what you're talking about, Matt. And I think it's two ways of looking at it. And, you know, if you're right, then you're going to look really smart that you moved up and took Jordan Love if he becomes what you think he could be. But if it doesn't work out, you know, it's a very high-risk, high-reward situation.
Well, not, maybe not, because if it doesn't work out, you still got Aaron Rodgers.
True. True.
So,
and like, it's really a capital too with
right. So it's a calculated gamble, because if he does hit and he does show some skills in a spot where he could be showcased in either the preseason and mop up duty, and if Rodgers gets hurt or banged up in any capacity, where Love can come in and show that he's got some skills, and all of a sudden, two first rounders are getting dangled for him or something. You know what I mean? Because people start doing crazy shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving into Sunday, who we talked about, the Bills will face off against Kansas City Chiefs, hold off the Browns. As you said, Patrick Mahomes was injured in the game. I believe he had a concussion. Chad Henne comes in and finishes it up 22-17. But the Browns felt like for a little while they were out of it, but, you know, never really.
What a play call by Andy Reid there.
Big old stones.
Wow. I mean, that's a tough call to make with the backup quarterback in, and they go out there and win the game on that play.
If you're Stefanski, you learned your lesson as a rookie coach that I got to do that. I got to go for that when he had the chance, you know, on the previous possession.
Absolutely. So, I think it's a great matchup. You got the 1 and 2 seed in the AFC. I think Buffalo's got a shot, but it'll be interesting to see if Kansas City can – you know, continue the streak they've been on the last couple years. And
to tell you
and
one like thing, you said, the Browns aren't going anywhere.
No.
Boomy was high on them earlier in the year.
They didn't even have Odell Beckham.
Week 4 or 5. I remember when we were doing some predictions on who was going to win divisions, I believe Boomy said that he had the Browns winning the division. I think maybe it was week 5 or 6 when we met.
Yeah.
They did end up winning the division. But it speaks to seeing some growth, and this team has really just gotten better and better and better throughout the season. When you got a young team like that, that's all you really want to see. And they've got everybody coming back next year, so there's no reason to think they can't be right here again.
100%. In the last game of the weekend, Tom Brady punches yet another ticket to a conference championship game. The Buccaneers beat the Saints 30-20. Rumors swirling around. I don't know if it's official yet, but Drew Brees' time in the NFL is
probably. I mean, if you look at that game and don't think he should retire, then I mean, it's just not there anymore.
Pretty much sums it up.
Amazing player. But it's just,
yeah, Hall of Fame career for sure. I mean, it's
like, how is Tom Brady still doing it?
He's the GOAT. There's no question. It's just that's just the fact about it. He's the best.
He's 12 nothing.
No strawberries, right? My kid loves strawberries, so I guess I'm screwed. But
got to get him on that method earlier. Yeah. But yeah, so this coming weekend we will have Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship, and Buffalo and Kansas City in the AFC Championship.
It's going to be a fun Sunday.
I agree.
But, boys, we got this Sunday, then we have 2 weeks until the Super Bowl, and no NFL for a whole year.
Yeah, 3 games left. 3 games. That's pretty depressing when you think about it.
Pretty sad. I want to go hopefully back to the NFL. I want to go back to the wild card, NFL wild card weekend.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah, it was great.
Better times. But let's move on to another little sad subject. We were talking about the Bears. We got the Blackhawks, 0-3. Matty Pucks, is there any hope?
No. Nope. There's no
kind
hope.
Of what I
you don't have a goalie.
I've watched some of the games, but it just hasn't looked good. The defense isn't there. And
you don't have a goalie, you don't have defensemen, and you don't have a center. The goalie, that's
a lot of rebounds from the goalie and a lot of shots on goal, and it's just you really miss Corey Crawford.
It's very depressing in the fact that it's Patrick Kane is still has productive hockey in him, and he's just pissing it away. And it's an all-time great that's just pissing away, and it sucks. And he's a generational talent. He's a generational player. He's a generational leader of this team, in my opinion. Even though he doesn't have the captain that Taves has, but and Taves is too. He's a guy that, you know, they've pissed away two or three solid years from him and whatever he has left in the tank too. Different game. So I think Kane's got a little more longevity. He doesn't take any hits. He doesn't play a physical game where Taves does a little bit. But man, you don't have any centers. You're seeing the problems. You don't have any defensemen. You give up goals. You don't have a goalie. You're not stopping anything, and you're just going to get ransacked by good teams like they have. And don't get it wrong. Florida's got a lot of talent, and I know a lot of people don't know a lot of the names there, but it's a loaded team, and Joel Quenneville's their coach. So they've got tons of talent. They got centermen. They got good forwards. They got score guys that can score. Aaron Ekblad's a great defenseman, great young defenseman. He's going to be around the league for a long, long time. And so it's not like they're losing to slouches so far, but they don't look competitive against really good teams, and that's kind of just tells you what you need.
I've yet to make it to a second intermission.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but have they given up 5 goals in each of the 3 games?
I believe so, yes.
That is a
And it was quick start. In the first one.
Too. Yeah, that first one was very quick.
Yeah, the first one was super. That was he got dragged up and down. It was a bad game for him, but which sucks too, because that guy was Malcolm Subban was really highly touted prospect coming up too, and he's just never really found his spot in the league with Boston and then Vegas now here. So it does suck kind of seeing that.
But it's going to be a tough season, but maybe they can get it together. We'll see. Let's get to something a little bit more exciting. The Bulls. Bulls win last night against the Rockets, are 6-8. Boomy said, maybe a half game. Maybe they're close to the 8th spot. Let's just
within a game of the 8th seed,
playoff bound. But they're fun to watch. They're exciting. They're you can tell they're learning and getting better. They had a tough loss the other night, but they bounced back. Like it's just nice to see progression.
100%. I mean, and they were able to stack wins. You know, it was a good win over a Dallas team that had Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis on Sunday night. And then you turn around and have to fly from Dallas into Chicago to face a Houston team that obviously John Wall isn't there, but Victor Oladipo is a damn good. You know, and they have some pieces, but to go on a, you know, a back-to-back night and be able to put it together like that, that was an impressive win. Because there were so many opportunities they could have just pissed it away.
You're right. And even at the end, it got close. They're learning how to win.
Nope, you're fine. Say they took those lumps in those games like we talked about a couple weeks ago when they blew the 22-point lead. Like you said, like we want to see continual progress. And I feel like they learned from that and were able to hold on tonight. Good to see.
Yeah, I'm kind of the piggyback of what Boomy's saying is it's refreshing to see when, you know, you don't close a game out, a couple games out recently, and then you kind of do tonight. You kind of seal it off when you should. And it got a little closer than that game probably should have been late, but they did still hold them off. They won the game. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to see a young team do. So they're doing what Donovan kind of was preaching, that we got to learn how to close these games out, finish games out. And they did it. So that's what you want to see. It's a sign of progression at the very least. That said, they got to get more talent somehow. They need more talent. And whatever means is the draft, a trade, a free agent acquisition, we got to figure it out. But I like where this is going. I'll say
yes,
that.
Because like with them looking, they're exciting to watch and they look like they're having fun. Maybe that and new front office, maybe that'll help get some of these free agents.
Exactly.
It's getting fewer and fewer out there because people are starting to sign extensions and you get more money when you stay with your team. But at least it's starting to look a little bit better for free agents.
Chicago cannot be, in and of itself, cannot be that bad of a destination
yeah.
at this point. It Very really true. Can't be, because the problems that have been a public and well-known by NBA players and agents alike was the Paxson and Gar Foreman regime, and they didn't like either the volatility that they had with Thibodeau or just the sheer lack of direction where they were in the rest of the time. And frankly, that's gone. And I think Karnisovas has a lot of respect and carries a lot of weight around the league. And Billy Donovan, I think, absolutely does as well. And when you got guys like that are at the forefront of bringing in your talent, then, you got to have some optimism there.
So, well, keep watching. They're exciting. There's something that can give us excitement right now in our sports life. It's kind of tough right now. Watch the Bulls. But, Boomy, you got a wacky web story for us?
I sure do, and it's an update of the story that I featured in episode 93 the other day. So if you haven't listened to the podcast, go listen to it. And it was about a racing pigeon that had made it to Australia, they believed, and there was a possibility they were going to put it down because of biohazard, biosecurity risks. And come to find out, all is well. Joe the Pigeon will not be put down because...
Thank goodness.
He received a reprieve after they found out that the leg band on the pigeon was actually fake. He was actually not from the United States and is not a biohazard, a biosecurity risk to the country of Australia. So Joe the Pigeon will not be put down by the country of Australia. So shout out to Joe the Pigeon, who gets to live another day in sunny, beautiful Australia. Now he just has to avoid all the crocodiles and reptiles and all the other crazy stuff that lives in Australia.
God.
That makes me feel good, though, that he... I've been worried about... I've been worried sick about that. But
he's actually losing sleep.
I can sleep tonight, finally. But that's awesome.
It is good to hear. It's positive news to get the week going.
Also, we found out that this segment is Boomy's dad's favorite part of the show. We love it. We love it. So, shout out to Boomy's dad.
Got to keep it
in. It's a daily staple. Come on. It's not,
exactly.
We tape it ourselves.
Except for Boomy. Christmas Big 2019.
Boomy. Big Boomy.
Yeah. Is that Boomy's blackout?
What?
No, that was Zach's fault for not telling me to get a story.
When?
When I forget the one day in the last year and a half that I didn't have a wacky web
Boomy,
story.
The Boomy Blackout episode.
Yep, 2019, December 24th, Christmas Eve. Boomy forgot.
We'll go down in the laurels of typical Chicago fans history.
Of a never, day to forget
never
a wacky
to
web
be
story,
forgotten. Though, yeah. On Christmas Eve, of all days.
How do the kids sleep that night?
I lose sleep thinking about it. Maybe.
I bet your dad was pissed.
He was probably not happy.
But we're going to end the show here with John Lester signs with the Washington Nationals. So did Kyle Schwarber, Yu Darvish, Padres. Victor Caratini, Padres. Who am I missing?
Chatwood just signed with the Blue Jays. Did you say that one?
I said Schwarber. Yeah, Chatwood. I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on, but did you guys think we'd be here so quickly?
Not this damn fast.
Yeah, I did not think last year when the last out for the Chicago Cubs was had, I did not think that they would be getting rid of Yu Darvish, getting rid of Caratini, getting rid of now. I thought Lester would be back. I didn't think we would get rid of Schwarber for.
See, and I always thought that like Lester and Schwarber. I always thought Lester and Schwarber were a possibility because of their contracts being up and things like that. But like Darvish, absolutely not.
You're right, but with all of it happening at once, it's just a mix of emotions. So you're right.
Yeah, it's a lot to handle in a very short period of time.
I'm going to say one thing, and it's not to, like, I mean, it's the right approach. If you're going to do the rebuild, which it seems like they've committed to doing, you got to rip the Band-Aid off, and you can't take half measures. You can't bring as much as like you'd like to have a John Lester on your team. You can't have him taking away innings from a young arm right now if you're going in rebuild mode. You just can't. And as much as you like Lester, as much as I like Lester, as much as he did for this organization, he's more detrimental to the Cubs' plan now, unfortunately. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Right.
Should they probably handle it a little better? I think they probably should have done some sort of a send-off. Like, he deserved it.
Yeah. But I also didn't think we would be in this mode right now.
I agree.
The mode of rebuilding.
That's a separate point to what I'm saying.
That's why everything has been such a shock to me.
Right. So if you're going there, you can't take a half measure, though. Mm-hmm. And you just can't.
Unfortunately.
Because you start doing half-ass rebuilds, you really
got to full-ass everything.
True. You got to put your full-ass into it.
So we'll probably get more into it throughout the week if anything else happens, because there's going to be more coming.
It's
likely going to be more.
You got to move Contreras. The next few weeks. You got to move Contreras now because he's your most valuable piece.
Only the third player in Cubs since 1993 for the Chicago Cubs to have to go to arbitration.
Yeah, not worth that half a milli.
I don't get that. What do you mean?
That's so the difference. They couldn't come to an agreement on his contract for next year, so they're going to an independent arbitrator who will decide, after hearing from both sides, as to what each side thinks that his value is. I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I believe the difference in contract that they were – the difference they're between is $500,000.
Jesus. Really trying to pitch those pennies, aren't we, Ricketts family?
I really don't get what's going on here. I don't like it one bit.
I don't like it one bit either. I don't like it at all.
Anything post-show, boys?
First time since 1961 that we don't have Duke, Kentucky.
Hurts. This is gonna hurt.
Top 25 of the college basketball poll.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. When you're falling down, bring your enemies with you.
I don't hate that at all, man. I like that.
If I'm falling down, I'm slitting Achilles on my way down, dude.
If I'm going down, you're all going down with me.
Yeah. It's been a rough run for Carolina.
It's a weird year.
If the guys that they have this year, if generally speaking, all of them come back, Garrison Brooks can't. Well, I guess he can if he decides that he wants to have an extra season in college basketball. But if they bring most of their freshmen back that are there this year, I think they could be very, very good next year. I think they got a shit ton of talent, and they are just no direction. Caleb Love can't hit a shot to save his life. And I was really high on that kid. I thought that kid was going to be really good. It sounded like he was a great scorer, great shooter. And he cannot hit fucking water if he was in a boat. He really could not. It's mind-blowingly bad how bad of a shooter he is right now.
Well, and the rest of that conference is kind of caught up to Duke and Carolina. I mean, and I'm not saying that, like, they haven't been, but, like, Florida State's having a really
Florida State beats the shit out of Carolina at Florida State every time they play there. So every time they play there.
Washover schools in that conference, like Clemson, are at the top. I mean,
Florida State's good, though. They've been a good program for about the last 10 years. Leonard Hamilton is a great coach.
Amazing. And he always seems to have like 5 7-footers somehow.
5 freakishly athletic 7-footers. Not guys that like they run like deer and can fucking leap out of the gym and block shots.
And we have to remember
like
that Patrick Williams came off the bench for damn near that same team, except for a couple other
only
guys.
For a reason, only because like you bring a guy like that off the bench, opposite of what they had on the floor at the time, and he's just like the ultimate counterpunch.
Yep,
because he's the perfect guy to come off the bench in college, especially the freshman. But I don't know. Duke, on the other hand, let's talk about those guys for a minute. Like, it's just amazing what happens when you don't have a gym full of screaming idiots on top of your opponent in their ear the whole game. When you don't have reps to kind of persuade with your tactics as they do in Durham. Interesting what happens. I'm just Just, you know. But hey, he goes from wanting the entire country in the tournament to all of a sudden, should we really be playing? Should we be playing games?
They might be. I was actually there's been two Power Five women's teams that have called it quits on the season, Vanderbilt and Virginia. I wonder how long it'll be until we see them.
Don't forget last year before they canceled the NCAA tournament, who was the first program to say, no, we're not playing in it?
Duke.
He's going to do it again. Yeah. I can tell you that. He's going to do it again.
I thought he was going to do it back in mid-December when they canceled all their non-conference.
I don't like John Calipari. But I respect John Calipari. He doesn't shy away from, like,
he's a dirtbag and he knows it.
I don't know that he's a dirtbag because I really don't. Like, what's he really been? He hasn't been with a lot of terrible things. Like, it's not been things that a lot of other coaches have walked free, like Scott Free.
Yeah, he's Steve Alford.
Well, right. You know what I mean? Like, for one. Anyway, though, yeah. Calipari is who, like, he openly is who he is.
Yep.
But he'll tell you he's going after one and done. That's just what he's going to do. He's going to take advantage of the system, and that's what it is. Krzyzewski, on the other hand, just that's not what we're doing. We're building young minds and we're molding men. Blah 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 blah. All this bullshit, and it's just so tiring with that guy.
Well, that was a little college basketball update to end the show there. But thank you to.
I really
thank
can't.
You to Matt Schoolfield at schools_01 and Boomy at Boomy TCF. I'm Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF, the main page at typical_Chicago. Instagram, Facebook, type in typical Chicago fans. You will find us on there. Go to the YouTube page, typical Chicago fans. Subscribe, please. Wherever you get your podcast from, type in typical Chicago fans and you will find us on there. If it's Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. Go to typical Chicago fan. Oh, go to 26shirts.com Chicago and use the promo code typical Chicago fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that was typical Chicago fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase at 26shirts.com Chicago. Anything else, boys?
Let's have a beautiful Tuesday.
Do it.
This has been the TCF Morning Show, Tuesday, January 19th. We love you all.
Peace.